Let's just be still, shall we, as we begin. Lord, speak to us.
So that we hear your word.
Move among us.
So that we see your glory.
Receive our prayers.
So that we learn to trust you. Amen.
We're going to sing together now, all creatures of our God and King. As we prepare our hearts to say sorry to God, we remember those times when, in the last week, we have fallen short of God's glory. What God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us in penitence open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. We confess to you our selfishness and lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing our faith. Fill us with your Spirit. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and lack of trust. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As God's forgiven people and in response to God's love and grace toward us, we sing together the next two songs, Come Now Is the Time and Everlasting God.
Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before. We'll be right back.
Just a quick reminder for those who weren't here right at the beginning of the service. If you have any prayer requests or you would like us to give thanks to God for anything at all during our intercessions, please do drop us a line in the chat and I'll be happy to pray for those things. I'll hand over now to David, who's going to read God's word to us.
The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 4. Reading verses 26 to 29. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for your word. Lord, speak to our minds and to our hearts this morning. As we listened to your word and as we explore it more now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I find it quite satisfying to watch something that you have planted grow. And it's even more satisfying when you can eat it. Lovely though flowers are. Growing vegetables gives you that extra sense of satisfaction that you've grown it yourself. But growth does not happen overnight, does it? Unless you're this fella. Can I have the first picture, please, Alan? Jack. We know the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, I am sure. Jack took a cow to market and came back with some magic beans. His mum then proceeded to throw them onto the ground in disgust. And what happens? Immediately, a beanstalk grows up. Well, that doesn't happen in reality, does it? Germination takes time. Can we have the next picture, please? How do we go from this lovely tray of seeds to this next picture, please? Lovely, enormous marrows, some which I grew a few years ago. Thank you, we can lose the pictures now. But I jump ahead of myself. Jesus begins to tell the second of three parables about seeds. Seeds and planting and reaping were something that were very ordinary in the Jewish culture. They were very commonplace, and like us who live in rural England, we will often walk down the road, won't we, and see fields of things growing. Barley, wheat, we might see oilseed rape around at the moment. Having not lived in the countryside very long myself, I'm still quite amazed as I walk down the road and I can have a field of yellow on one side and a woodland full of bluebells on the other. God's creation is incredible. But there we were. It was common. The Jews knew about seeds. They knew about growth. They knew about farming. This picture would have been familiar in the Old Testament too, relating to God's blessings to the growth of vegetation. And so when Jews first hear Jesus talking about the growing seeds, their thoughts turn to prosperity, to the blessing of God. But was that really what Jesus was saying here? Not sure it was. The parable being told, as previous parables have been, is allowing Jesus to communicate the message of the kingdom of God. Verse 26 in our reading says, "The kingdom of God is as if someone took some seed and scattered it on the ground. Those observant among you will notice that it says here, someone. It doesn't say a farmer. It doesn't say Jesus. It doesn't say your vicar. It doesn't say your lay minister. It says someone. That means anyone. It's not a specialist job. We can all do it. Scattering seed involves having a bag across your shoulder. It's really easy just to put your hand in, to gather the seed in your hand and to fling it out there. The point is, do we scatter seed? The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. And he would sleep and he would rise day and night, and the seed would sprout and grow. And he does not know how. I was talking to David this morning. He's been away on holiday. And he said that when he came back, it was just amazing how much the garden had grown and how nature had just taken over. We don't know how that happens, do we? It just happens. God does something mysterious. And whether we're involved or not, it happens. God calls each of us to use the skills that he's given us to show and tell others the good news. Growing the seed is God's business. Jesus' focus in telling this story is on the mysterious means of the seed's growth. Now, a seed can look like nothing. It's small, hard, often dull in appearance, and yet, out of that tiny, tiny seed, there is power, a life force, just waiting to push its way. Can I have the next picture, please, Ellen? I'm always amazed that things can grow even in the driest and most boring of conditions. Here's a seedling coming through the concrete. It's quite incredible the power that a seed has, that a stem has, to push its way through towards the sunlight. It will always make its way towards the light. Just has to be given the right conditions. Thank you, Ellen. If we compared that seed to the Word of God, it's like taking the Bible off a shelf and opening it up. And like in the films, the light just shines right through back at you. The Word of God has power to break into the hearts of those that are so hard-hearted, they wouldn't even dream of what it was like to know the love of God. But God can do that. God has the power to break through. Verse 27 and 28 of our reading say, day and night the seed sprouts. It grows. He does not know how. First the stalk, then the ear, and then the full kernel in the ear, or the full grain in the ear. The seed sown can reach the hearts of all people, bringing with it the promise of eternal life. How God grows that seed, we will never know. Winter time is often a time when the ground seems bare, the ground seems dark, and yet that is when the hard work is going on. And it is in spring that we see the evidence of that hard work. And so begins the process. And it's a journey. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. Seeds don't go straight from being seed to being fruit. They have to go through that process. You don't give birth to a baby one day and are faced with an adult the next, although it can feel that sometimes with the way that our children grow up so quickly. There has to be a process of growth through babyhood and toddlerhood to letting our children go to school and then into those teenage years before they take wings and flight as young adults. Becoming like Christ takes time. Growing as Christians can take a lifetime. An abundance of grace is needed. John Newton, the writer of the famous hymn Amazing Grace, published a series of letters to a young Christian. And one particular letter he wrote was called The Grace of the Blade. He says, first the stalk appears, the grace of the spring, the stalk popping its head above the soil in response to the warmth of the sun. A young plant with a desire, a passion, a delight in the Lord, a warm heart, but still weak in faith. For a new Christian, Sundays become a whole new routine. The Bible is open and it's in use. Following Christ involves a new way of looking at life and developing. In my previous role as a children and young people's worker, there was many a time when I saw that young stem crushed. When churches approached young people saying, you're too young, you can't do that. Are you sure that's a vision from God? We don't do things this way here. We need to nurture those young plants. We need to look out for those people with passion. And it's not just young people. People of all ages who have a delight in the Lord and a desire to share it. We need to nurture that. Newton goes on to tell the new Christian about the grace of the ear. Time of testing, learning to turn away from trusting ourselves to trusting God. That rolls off the tongue very easily, but it's really quite hard to do, to totally and utterly trust in God for all that we need to do, all that God has called us to do. Thirdly, then, the grace of the full kernel in the ear. The assurance of the love and hope that is in Jesus Christ. The Christian, says Newton, is more content, has greater humility and spirituality, and is more willing to say, thy kingdom come. So first the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. My friends, there are no shortcuts. The process has to happen. As humans grow physically by centimetres or inches, if you want it in old money, so it is with our spiritual lives. When I was a child, I was very fond of these books. Can I have the next picture, please? Here they are, the Mr. Men, great characters who popped into people's lives, changed their lives, and popped out again. Now, in the 1970s, we can lose that again, thank you. In the 1970s, of course, there were only Mr. Men. Since then, we've had books written about Little Miss and Little Miss people, and that's great. But in the 70s, there were only the men, and my dad wasn't having any of it. My dad was very inclusive. And I got very quickly, as I grew up, nicknamed Little Miss Instant. I'm very impatient. I wanted everything now. I didn't want to have to wait for anything. one particular year, I really wanted a camera. And my dad said, well, you'll have to save up. And I had to wait and I had to save up. And I saved and I saved. And my birthday came around and I'd had to wait all year. And my parents bought me a camera. I had to learn the lesson of saving, but I also had to learn the lesson of waiting. Our world can feel like that, can't it? Our world demands instant results. We have fast food. We have instant coffee. We have quick service. We want every light to be green, and we certainly don't want to have to queue or sit in traffic. When I lived in Norwich, I used to go to a hairdresser that was walk-in. You just didn't make an appointment. You just walked in. And as you walked in, they said, what would you like? And you'd just say, oh, I just want a haircut. And they'd say, oh, there's about a 10-minute, 20-minute, half an hour wait. You want to take a seat? And if you're willing to wait, you just sat down and made your way up the queue. And so I sat down and I waited for a stylist to be available. And a man comes and sits down next to me. And almost immediately, he's moaning. If it says walk in, it should mean walk in. I shouldn't have to sit and wait. How hard it is to wait. But when we wait and when we watch, then the harvest will come. Verse 29 in our reading says, when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. As soon as the grain is ripe, the harvest is immediate. We don't wait. We gather it in. Now, we may well never see the harvest from the seeds that we sow, but it really is important to sow them. Because while we're sowing seeds, we're also watching out for those seeds that have been planted by a previous generation. Those seeds that have been planted by somebody else. If we don't plant seeds now, what will there be to reap for the next generation? So it's twofold. We plant seeds, we reap the harvest of others planting, and God's timing is perfect in it all. When Jesus came into the world, the Jews were really disappointed. Jesus did not fulfill the sort of kingdom of God that they had expected. No one expected or imagined the Son of God, a carpenter's son, would begin a movement that would see millions of people from every tribe and every nation being welcomed into God's kingdom. So never despise small beginnings. Where does that leave us? A few years ago, I was privileged to hear a talk from the chief executive of the Church Army, Mark Russell. And he was encouraging those present to make a difference by doing one new thing, a small thing. God does not expect us all to stand on street corners preaching. He doesn't expect us all to go knocking door to door. But he does expect us to use the skills that we have, to use our common sense, to be aware of those around us. And I believe that every person in this room, every person in all of our congregations, has the ability to put their hand into that bag of grain, to lift out a handful of seed and to scatter it. Fling it out there. Do one thing differently. It can be something as simple as putting the bin out for your elderly neighbour. Or if you're at home all day, taking in the parcels that arrive for your neighbours who are out at work all day. invite one person you know to join us in a physical service. Physical services are happening. Invite someone to join us on Zoom while we're meeting on Zoom. We are aiming to look forward to a Village Green service. Invite someone to come along to that. Sow a seed. Let God grow it. Look out for seeds already growing and get ready to harvest. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, would sleep and rise night and day. The seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. And at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. Let's pray. Creator God, we thank you for the world in which we live. We thank you for giving us each the ability to sow seeds, to scatter them. We don't know where they'll land. But Lord, we know that you will grow those seeds. So Lord, give us the confidence and the ability to sow. Lay on our hearts those who you wish us to speak to show God's love to in our actions. Help us to pray, that our prayers may become our actions and our actions our prayers. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to declare our faith now. Please do join with me.
Are we not having I will offer up my life?
Yes, we are. Thank you, Alan. Sorry. We'll have a song next. And then we will declare our faith together.
Dead of love that is all by this thankful heart.
So we declare our faith together. Though he was divine,
he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high, and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
And so we turn to prayer. You're going to use the response that's appearing on your screen. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Father God, we approach your throne of grace with our concerns, our burdens, and our thanksgiving for all your people throughout the world. Help us to put our trust in you and in our Saviour Jesus Christ. It taught us that you love us as a parent and only want what is right for us. May the seeds that are being planted in the villages around our benefice grow into branches that reach out into every part of the diocese and beyond, and help us as we try and focus on the big issues that sometimes threaten to overwhelm us. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We pray for the Christian church throughout the world, and especially for churches in places where religious faith is suppressed or where Christianity is an unwelcome minority. We pray for our bishops, for all who serve on our diocesan synod. And we pray for more lay people would come forward to serve you in this way. We pray for guidance and wisdom in all the work that they do, which enables the diocese to grow and to flourish. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Creator God, we pray for our world, which seems to be forever caught up in violence and conflict. Through the media, we are witnesses to terrorist violence in so many parts of the world. As we continue to pray for peace and goodwill towards all people, we also pray for the innocent victims and their families caught up in conflicts which are not of their making. We pray for our world leaders, for the G7 summit taking place here in the UK. We also pray for our community leaders, for those in public office dealing with difficult situations, and especially for those dealing with the ongoing pandemic. Help us to always be aware of the part that we can play by acting carefully and unselfishly. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Gracious God, we pray for our children and young people as they near the end of another academic year. Be with those who have left school already for the summer. May they find purpose as they think through the next stage of their learning. We pray for those leaving university and looking for work, and those starting new lives in the world of work. Help us through our Christian life to create a society where both young and old, gifted and less able, feel valued and proud to be part of society. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Loving God, we think now of those in need in our own community and further afield, the elderly and housebound, those in care homes, hospital and hospices. We also remember the victims of violence, abuse or cruelty. We give thanks for all those who care for the sick within the family, and for all our medical and voluntary services. We pray especially this morning for Anne, Michael, Richard and family. For Richard as he starts radiotherapy, the multiple aggressive tumours, and wisdom for decisions about chemo changes and healing for bones and for removal of disease. We also lift to you Annette, Joyce, and Chrissy. We give you thanks that Cheryl's mum is so much better and for the medical care that she has received. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We pray for those who face the pain of grief at the loss of a loved one. Help us to support all those who mourn, both in our prayers and with practical help, both this day and in the days and weeks to come. We remember before God those who have died, and ask that those bereaved by their passing are aware of the light of Christ, which shines eternally and brings so much hope. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
Lord, we ask you to lead us into the coming week. Help us to believe that you are close to us. Keep us from making mistakes and help us never to disappoint you. When we face hard decisions or difficult work, when we enjoy ourselves and have fun with others, may we know that you share these times with us. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we join together in the Lord's Prayer, in the version that's closest to your heart. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Eternal God, giver of love and power, your Son Jesus Christ has sent us into all the world
to preach the gospel of his kingdom.
Confirm us in this mission,
and help us to live the good news we proclaim, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle us in the faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore.
Amen.
If you are able, please do stay for a cup of coffee, and we'll reconvene after we've sung our hymn. We will reconvene in 5 minutes after that. We sing as our final hymn. We have a gospel to proclaim. I hope you'll all have a great week until we meet again. And if you're staying, it'd be good to chat. So see you soon. See you very, very soon. Bye for now. Mm-hmm.